You're listening to the Flight Test Podcast, Episode 1.
Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. Flight Test is all about educating, entertaining, and elevating the world of flight. If you like radio control planes, helis, FPV flying, multi-rotors, or scratch building, this podcast was made just for you. Welcome, everyone, to the very first Flight Test Podcast. My name is Austin. I have three awesome guys here with me. We've gotten up at the absolute crack of dawn in Northeast Ohio to record our very first Flight Test Podcast. So, basically, I wanted to cover two things before I introduce everybody. The first is for new listeners. If you've never listened to a Flight Test anything before, if you've never even heard of Flight Test, this podcast is for you. If you're interested in flight or if you're interested in radio control, you're going to love this. And actually today's topic, our main topic today, is the origins of Flight Test. So this is a great episode for you to kind of tune in, catch up on the past 3 years of history of Flight Test and how things got started. If you are a longtime Flight Test community member, we want to let you know that we are here at the crack of dawn because this podcast is not taking the place of anything. We are still going to be releasing YouTube web shows on Monday and Wednesday, and we're still going to be just as active in the store and social media. So this is an addition. We're doing this because you guys wanted it. So that's it,
I think. Well, technically, you wanted it too.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. We're getting technical. So anyway, I have three guys here with me, so if you guys could introduce yourselves and your titles, and for the people that may not know who you are.
All right. I'm Chad Capper. I'm, I guess, president of Flight Test, and I guess I run the vision of the show. I set the vision in place, but I don't really run the daily activities. That would be more Josh Bixler. So, Josh?
Oh. Hello, I'm Josh Bixler. I am blessed with the opportunity to be a host of Flight Test. And as Chad said, he has graciously trusted me, which means he's a very brave guy with operations at Flight Test as well. Been doing it how many years now?
Three.
3 years.
Three years, in October.
Been flying since I've been about seven, and I am 35 years old now. And my kids are probably going to be better pilots than me in the next 3 years. So catch them quickly.
I'm David Lindestål. That's my Swedish name, at least. I'm the creative producer.
We say it in English so people know who you
David
are.
David Lindestål. I'm the creative producer at Flight Test. I am kind of trying to design the shows and make them happen.
Oh, you do a great job, Andy, yeah. David.
He's a good friend, too.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say we're all four here really good friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's safe to say.
Well, except for one of us, but we won't say.
Right.
Okay, so what's the first topic?
We should address one thing.
Yes.
There is another gentleman who's an amazing host.
We almost skipped over Josh Scott.
Yes.
He was supposed to be here. Well,
not but, really.
Yeah, it wasn't really Josh Scott's fault.
It was my fault. It was my fault. It was me reading my text too fast, and I read one of my own texts as Josh Scott. And Josh was saying, no, he can't make it. And I thought it was, yes, he can. So it's my fault. But
that's a common mistake.
Yeah, you know. What, in the future, though, we are going to be scheduling this around. So it's going to be five guys in a little tiny room with crazy foam padding all over doing this podcast. And Josh Scott, for anyone that has not met him or is new to Flight Test, is an amazing newbie. Newbie being a person new to RC, he takes the knowledge we give him. He tries to execute it in real time in front of the camera. And he is just amazing in communicating to the newbies that have never been involved in flight tests. He takes our overcomplicated jargon and makes it digestible and easy to understand and does it in a very entertaining way. And tune in to the next podcast. I'm confident we'll have him. And he's amazing.
And I would say, to further clarify, he's kind of representing the newbies, although he's more of an intermediate.
He's getting to be intermediate, yes.
And he doesn't really practice on his own. So that basically any of the progression you see on camera is natural because he really probably hasn't picked up a controller since last time.
There's no training in between episodes. Everything he learns is for the first time while the camera is rolling, and that just makes me admire him all the more because he retains that knowledge he learned from the previous shoot, which sometimes can be 2 weeks at a time distance, and then he applies it and he learns new things. So that's why we've been able to keep him newbie intermediate for About
three years. Yeah. So, and Austin, as you can tell, you're going to have to start cutting us off.
That's fine.
Oh, I have a question. Where is Josh Scott?
Not here.
He's not here.
Yeah. Okay. So, but with that being said, the podcast will probably be a bit of a rolling cast. So it may be a combination of people. It may be three people. Maybe four people, five people. You know, it'll be a rolling cast. So it won't be unusual for somebody to be missing or somebody to be new to be here. So just expect that down the line. Today we're going to have basically four parts to our podcast. The first part is going to be just kind of an introduction. We're going to be talking about what flight test is for those of you that this is your first time being exposed to flight test. And we're going to talk about why we decided to do a podcast. As of today, we have roughly 80,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. We do a lot of stuff with a forum, blog, articles. So why a podcast? We're going to be talking about that. Second thing we're going to be talking about is just kind of a deeper look at kind of the host of the podcast. We're just going to be talking about this is something we don't really get to talk about during our show because we try to keep the show very focused on the content of the show. And so we don't digress a whole lot. This is going to be a chance for us just to kind of look at what everybody's day's like, what happens at flight test. Our main content, as I alluded to before, is going to be the origins of flight test. So we're going to share some stories. I'm going to ask some questions of some different people here at the table. And we're really going to dig into just kind of a catalog of how things got started at flight test. And then our second to last segment is going to be what's coming up for flight test. We really want the podcast to kind of be like a cool preview. So if you listen to the podcast, you're going to get some information that other people won't necessarily hear. So we're going to be able to dig into some of that.
So it's like a flight test secret society.
It's like a secret society. That's exactly what it's going to be.
But it's not a secret because we're advertising it, right?
Well, it's a secret unless you listen to the podcast. How about that?
Ooh. Okay. I like
that. That's deep.
Very last, I think it's going to be my favorite segment for the rest of the podcast. We're going to do a lightning round of Q&A where I'm going to ask a question and we're going to answer the question quickly. And then we're going to wrap things up.
Great. Let's get started.
Okay. So very first introduction, what is flight test? Anybody that wants to answer that question, have at it.
Josh Pixler.
Oh, boy. I always get the honor for this, and I love it. Flight test, this is what I'm going to describe it as, is a family-friendly way to introduce people to flight in an entertaining, educating, and inspiring way. Chad, his vision from the very beginning was to inspire people, give them knowledge, and make them laugh at the same time. All around flight, and he's done a wonderful job. He called it the three E's, didn't you, Chad?
Yes, it's in the 30 is elevation. So it's entertaining, educating, and elevating the world of flight. And the 30 being a synonym for inspiration.
Yes, yeah, and you know, I think you've kept really true to that all along, and it's just become more fun. But the beautiful thing is the audience has really, I should say viewers and community has really guided us where we need to go. We started out doing reviews. Predominantly through Hobby King. And then as reviews came in, they also issued challenges to us. We started meeting those challenges. Those challenges led to our own designs. Those designs people wanted to recreate, so that led to build videos. Those build videos led to people wanting to have kits, and now it's anywhere from reviews all the way to build videos.
You said kits, not kids.
Not kids, no. That'd be awkward.
That would be weird.
Yeah, kits. So it's really been guided by the viewers, and we're so grateful for that because I don't think we have the imagination or the talent they do.
Well, now I want to take the opportunity to read the mission statement that actually existed even before anyone at this table, I guess other than me. But it's great because it still holds true. It shows how closely we stuck to it. But what I had wrote originally was, Flight Test was created for people passionate about flight. Our hope is to create the show for people that build and fly planes and helicopters as a hobby. They are the dreamers and engineers that get a thrill from the first launch of a maiden flight. The show will personify the veteran and the beginner alike, giving them a chance to share the common experience with others, in turn enhancing the RC community. The goal is to develop a creative outlet that allows us to work in our passion daily. Flight Test is designed to empower our audience. It has just enough humor, technology, and information to appeal to the RC flight crowd as a whole. We hope to entertain, educate, and elevate our viewers as we move forward with quality content. And it feels really good to read that because I feel like we're perfectly on mission, and you know, to know that it was written so, you know, over 3 years ago and that we're still doing that now is a really good feeling.
Beautiful foundation.
We're on course. literally and figuratively for the podcast as well. So next question is, I think that kind of sums up what Flight Test is.
David, would you like to add anything? Because David came in after Flight Test was started, but he was there very early. And before Flight Test even started, I wanted to say I built my Twin Star based on David's post on his own blog, and he and I collaborated on my build, which was really just a copy of his build. And so he inspired me very early on, and I think that's interesting that now he's here.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. it's funny when I first got here the first time, the customs person asked me, "So, what brings you to America?" I'm like, "A guy on the internet sent me an email and asked if I wanted to come over." He's like, "What?" But it wasn't the dating site or anything, you know. It was my own website, and you know, yeah, I said yes. He's like, "Okay, go through."
It's probably not the weirdest thing you heard that day.
Yeah. Oh, we get that all the time.
So yeah, I came over, visited for 3 months the first time, and I didn't really know what to expect, but it was great. It was really good learning experience and all that, and then I got over one more time, visited for 2.5 months, which was also very nice. And then I got an internship at Flight Test, and now I do the shows.
Which is funny because technically, you know, or legally by description, we're training David.
Yeah.
So you're doing a good job, Dave.
Progress report, check.
Yeah, so I think if you know when I started, you can see a difference in the show structure. Mm-hmm. That the first episode I was in charge of was the Micro Aces review, which was a huge success.
when the controversy started, huh?
I don't know. I thought it was a good review, but hey.
Yeah. At the end of the day, your head was still shaved, wasn't it?
No, it was an excellent review. I mean, I really like that. I just
I do like that episode because usually what we did before was you got a plane, put it together, and then we started shooting the episode, went out and got the first experience. We got the maiden flight and all that and reviewed it based on that, whereas I think a review should be more you get the plane, you get all the experience, and over time you can say what you want because the first experience isn't the same as the last experience. Mm-hmm. If something happens, you don't know what, if it's the design or if it's just unluck.
You have plenty of time for the angst to build up.
Yeah.
The angst sure did build up on the Micro Aces one too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So when I got over, I wanted to introduce a new format where actually inspired by Top Gear. More that
European though,
yeah. The
UK one. The UK version,
yeah. The only good version. So, yeah, I wanted to see a more dynamic range where we actually shoot stuff at different times and put that together and get more docu-style. So, I can't remember the question, but
what is Flight Test?
So okay, so what's next?
We digress. Next, which we already kind of answered, but I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts. Why a podcast?
Well, I didn't really get podcasting at first. I even admitted that this morning. I thought podcasts only existed on iTunes. Like I didn't even realize there's a whole. I was completely ignorant to podcasting. But the differences that I picked up on after you kind of opened my eyes to this, Austin, is podcasting is a way to engage a little more, and I don't want to sound insulting, but intellectually. Like, you know, you really engage in the topic matter in a much deeper level, where the show is a little more
superficial.
Flash and bang. Well, I don't want to call it superficial because it feels very... Like we connect very well with the audience on the show.
It's superficial in comparison to what we can do here, but it's deep when it comes to video.
To other videos, yeah. Yeah.
And,
I guess.
And we really try to deliver the content in the videos in a way that's respectful for the viewer's time. We want to keep, you know, the content of that video. Like, what we promised in the video, we want to deliver on.
Right.
And so it's like, we're not going to be talking about what Josh Bixler had for breakfast, but we might today.
Yeah, what'd you have for breakfast?
I had a Belgian waffle.
Ooh, why?
Yeah, fancy. My wife made it. It was delicious.
I had toasted potato bread with peanut butter on it.
Very good.
I had a Rockstar Energy for breakfast.
You're going to crash here in about 20 minutes. Yeah. All right, so did I answer the question?
I think so, yeah. We just want to be able to connect on a deeper level. And also, a podcast is a way to reach a lot of new people. A lot of new people that haven't heard about Flight Test, which is one of the reasons why today's episode is set up the way that it is. So I guess that gets past the introduction. We're going to go to a second segment now of just kind of getting to know whoever's here. Like I said, this will kind of be a rolling cast. So anybody that new shows up to the podcast, we're going to do this with. I guess
we're going to grill new people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are you?
That sounds like a good time.
Why do you bring value to this earth?
Explain yourself. No, we're just going to talk about what our typical day is like. And I don't know that we ever said our titles in the previous segment.
I did.
Okay, but David did.
No, you did.
Yeah, I guess we did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, operations manager. Okay, I guess we did. Never mind.
Wait. What are you?
Oh, I am the business development manager at Flight Test. I work with sponsors and advertisers and try to make the experience as smooth as possible. That's basically what I do.
Yeah, Austin's mostly focused on the business side. However, this is his creative contribution. So if you like the podcast, thank Austin.
He also has the deepest voice out of all of us. So.
And if you don't like the podcast, thank Austin.
The responsibility just fell on my shoulders. I want to go around the table and just talk about what a typical day for Josh and David and Chad and, well, I guess myself, and mine's probably the most boring.
When you lead into it like that.
what your day's like. I don't think that's something we've ever covered in the show.
Yeah. Nope.
What's your day like, Josh?
The day's a blast. Usually in the morning. Thank God for the internet, because in the morning when I wake up, I'm sucking down coffee like there's no tomorrow. And usually start answering emails. Emails from the day before. I'm blessed with the opportunity to work in the store. So any customer support emails that come in through the night, I usually try to hit first thing in the morning so we can take care of them that day. Also, once I get coffeed up, I am blessed to have the opportunity to work with my wife. She is the backbone of shipping. She was there, about 2 months? About February, late February, when things with the kids came?
Well, we started shipping. Yeah. She was here right out of the gate.
Yeah, she was out. I actually roped her in because I asked her, I said, can you just help me clean the garage? Because we started shipping.
Oh, that's how you got it.
Yeah.
Crafting.
I asked her, this is kind of going off base, but we'll share the story. I asked her, I said, you know what, you're really good at cleaning, and I'm not, and organizing. So
that wouldn't go well with my wife.
I asked her to come in and help me clean and organize and kind of get a flow to things. Well, once we got the place cleaned and organized and the flow to things, I was like, well, you're really good at the flow of things. Why don't you help me ship a little bit? And then she helped me ship a little bit more. And then next
but
thing
now
you know,
she's shipping while we're recording.
Right now she is in the other room, and she is amazingly talented at shipping. And we're blessed to have her now for as long as we had. And also, your wonderful wife is now coming in.
That's true. My wife, Anna, is now also working at Flight Test, working on shipping and film. Actually, you probably know she does better than
me. Yeah, she does fulfillment along with my wife. And here's the blessing here, is we're kind of scatterbrained guys. Our wives are sharp as tacks. So the chances of you getting your order accurate is much greater when they're fulfilling the orders than when I am. So we go in, work together. Long story short, she starts filling orders. I start, go ahead and take care of any customer service issues. Also in the morning and in the evenings, I love doing my design work. Chad got me, it was a Corel Draw 6 a long time ago, and for future episodes coming up, we oftentimes will work on future designs or episodes. So while it's quiet and calm and peaceful, that's when I do that. During the day, I'll either be helping out in the shipping department, working on a new design, or doing an episode with my best buddy Dave here.
Yeah.
And we're in a new location too, which makes life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than the garage that we were working out of, because we couldn't really test.
We were very segmented and separated before.
Very much.
Yeah,
so.
I was in the basement at Chad's house, working alone 5 days.
Communication with anyone was brutal, just because, like, you would talk to one person, the other person didn't know what was going on. Everyone being underneath the same roof, it makes things a lot
And now
easier.
That's about 20% better.
Yeah.
I see a common theme here. You were in the basement at Chad's house. I was in the garage at Chad's office.
Which was in the basement.
I was in the very darkest corner of Chad's office.
Where if you sit up too quickly, you hit your head, right?
Yeah.
So this, moving to the new location has been a great blessing because this place is beautiful. And we can go right outside and check the plane in the air. If you guys are wondering what it looks like, go look at the tour video, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a little tour, David and I.
We can link that in the show notes.
There you go. We can't link it here because they can't touch any buttons, right?
And how do you get to the show notes?
You go to flighttest.com/001. That's how you can get to this episode. This episode, yep.
So did I capture the day?
Yes, I think you did. Captured. You did a wonderful job.
Pass it to David.
So wait, what about on a shoot day?
On a shoot day? It's a lot of fun. We gather all the airplanes that are in pristine condition or prepared condition.
Flyable
condition is a good way to say it. David is frantically charging batteries and getting the crash kit ready, which, by the way, Chad invented something called the crash kit, which is amazing.
Which we did an episode on.
We did an episode on that. And if you guys don't have a crash kit, get one, because it keeps you from getting to the field and busting a prop and going home. But we get all the materials ready, and if the location's just out our back door...
Well, it won't keep you from busting a prop.
No. But it will keep you flying,
because
you don't have to go home and get another prop and people don't laugh at you. But the shoot days are a lot of fun. We usually gather, we open with prayer, and then after we get started, we usually pick what the most likely to succeed episode first, right?
I think we try to get the easy stuff out of the way.
So if we start with the hard ones and we have epic failure, what happens is we try to get that episode completed, and then by the end of the day, we have no time. So we usually take the safest ones. If the weather's bad, we usually do indoor ones. Also, with David's format, one of the great things that came out of it was by us capturing the experience of multiple days of flying, we get to be in different locations, different experiences, but we can open the episode in a safe environment that's not weather dependent and then show that experience and then close that episode, which really made the whole experience a lot more like Top Gear.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, should we jump to my day then?
Yeah. What's your day like, David?
First of all, we make a list of all the episodes that we're going to do, and I try to make everything work for that episode.
I try to make.
My day involves a lot of building and also helping Dave Knopp, which is our editor, to...
Video producer, he shoots and edits.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. He's a Swiss Army knife. Really, he is amazingly talented. We're so lucky that we have him.
And plug for his show. He has his own channel.
Oh, yeah, Knop Top.
Yeah, but it's spelled differently. It's Knop Top kind of
thing. K-N-O-P.
Yeah, search for Knop Top.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Or Quick FX.
Yep, sorry.
It's all about video production, in case we didn't say that.
Oh, really?
One more about airplanes.
So, I normally on like a Monday, I sit down and watch the episode that's going to be released, or preferably Friday if the episode is ready, and watch it through and make sure it has the proper feeling and is accurate and makes sense. Otherwise, I build stuff, try stuff. Generally, there's no real structure to my day. I just do whatever needs to be done.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, currently I'm a little bit overwhelmed because we're doing stuff on Monday. It's a live shoot.
Oh, yeah. The local news station is doing a live coverage of us bright and early Monday morning, an hour away from here.
This will obviously, they won't be able to tune in because it won't be released by them, but kicking That's it with true. Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if any of you are in the Northeast Ohio area, Fox 8. Yes. Oh, you know what? This will be released after that.
Afterwards.
Or during.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Jump in your time machine and watch that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
It's a great opportunity. We're grateful for it.
Yes.
Yeah, so... I'm trying to get as many planes as possible ready for that. And also, Neat Fair is coming up the following week for that. We're leaving Thursday. So there's a lot of stuff to be done. So
pretty much to sum it up, you're always building.
Yeah, I'm always building.
Or designing.
Yeah, and testing stuff.
Or cutting your finger.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a funny story.
On 3D printers.
Yeah, we got a new 3D printer, which is absolutely awesome. So I'm designing stuff and trying. I was here on a Saturday. I don't know. Should I go into the story?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I want to hear how you
start with
cut
Once
your
Upon
finger.
A Time. It's always better that way.
I was riding a unicorn to work. We got the 3D printer and I was all excited. So I came in on a Saturday and. Actually, it was a Sunday, but anyway, I'm awesome at this. Please bear with me. So I learned 3D software on Saturday, and then Sunday I came in and started printing stuff. And whenever the 3D printer is done, it has a wafer FR4 or G10 base that you can remove, and any print is stuck to that. So you have a spatula thing or
scraper of doom.
Scraper. I didn't realize quite how sharp that is. And it takes a lot of force to remove that. So I was scraping like crazy, and I slipped, and it caught my my left. What do you call that?
Finger.
pointy finger. At a nice 45-degree angle, and it cut like a half inch deep.
So you almost cut off your fingerprint.
The bone stopped it, though, so you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm good. I still have feeling in it, so it's fine. But, I was running around because it was bleeding everywhere, so I'm like, oh, I have to stop the bleeding. So I took some paper towels and wrapped it, and I rinsed it off, and I'm like, oh, I need to hold it high. So I held it high, and then I woke up on the floor, and it's the
We're
weirdest.
Laughing now.
It's the weirdest feeling.
He was here by himself.
Yeah, I was. That was kind of exciting. So I wake up, and it's awesome because I haven't fainted in a while.
In a while,
yeah. That experience is so weird because it's like the movie Memento. Uh-huh. You're like, oh wait, okay, where am I? Okay, I'm on the floor. Is it school day? No, it's not a school day. Wait, I think I'm old enough. Okay, I see a clock. Oh, what time is it? Wait, why am I watching the time? I'm on a concrete floor.
Why am I thinking in English?
I'm like, what? And I look over and I'm like, oh, right, I cut myself. And there's a pool of blood underneath my finger, and it's pretty sizable.
Is that what Mark was by the office?
Yeah, I tried to clean it up pretty good, but it was pretty good, sizable pool of blood. And I lifted my finger, and the blood had clotted, so I
congealed.
Yeah, so I pulled it up, and it was like a nice big juicy cake of awesomeness hanging from my finger. I'm like, ooh, that's nice.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So, oh, and by the way, if any of you have not joined this hobby and you're thinking about it, you will cut your finger pretty bad one day.
Band-aids are a necessity.
I mean, we all. And if you look
my
at
my very first build, annihilated my index finger. Just annihilated it. It makes me cringe to think about it.
And you can see mine in one of the earlier openings from the show. If you go back to the first episodes, there's a little opening shot. And for a brief second, you can actually see the huge scar across my index finger.
We should really have an episode where we tell the stories of our scars.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That would be good.
Just the visible ones.
Just the visible ones, yeah.
However,
caused by airplanes.
In interest of time, we're going to move to Chad. And what his typical day is like.
Well, my typical day is while Josh Bixler and David and Austin actually get to spend the majority of their day as flight test, I own a video production company, so I have to be split between the two. And sometimes there will be weeks where I have the opportunity to be more at flight test and weeks that I have to devote more of my time to Stonecap Productions, which is my video production company. So every week could be a little bit different, but for the most part, I work in two capacities. Vision, like kind of looking at the land, the horizon and saying, where can we go next and how can we, you know, improve upon what we're doing and do new things or enhance what we're doing. Or reactive mode where I'm patching holes and fixing, you know, taking care of issues and trying to fix the website or change or improve the website. The website's kind of my baby. I spend lots and lots of hours on that. And there's somebody, actually two people that spend gobs of time that none of you really know except for the people here, and that's Robert and Ryan. Ryan owns Shout It Louder, which is a web design firm. And Robert works for Stonecap Productions 50% of the time and Flight Test 50% of the time. And Robert actually handles so much of the function of the website. And he and I work very closely on that. And he does a phenomenal job, and nobody even knows who he is.
Amazing guy.
Yeah. So, my day, again, is more it's either developing vision for, new paths of where we're going, or reactive mode where I'm cleaning something up or trying to fix things. So it might be a little abstract, but
it was very concise.
Yeah,
so I like appreciate it.
Lots of phone calls and emails.
I gotta say, with the website, you truly have. I think you're being modest even saying hours and hours. I think it's days and weeks and months and years.
It's unfortunately it's not where I envisioned it yet, but it's getting closer and closer all the time.
Amazing job on it.
As for myself, I could also describe my day as lots of calls and emails. I spend a lot of time emailing, but I actually have a pretty fun job. I get to interact a lot with other people in the hobby, or other businesses in the hobby, I guess I should say. I spend a lot of time on the Facebook and the Twitter for Flight Test. I think what else I do. I run into Chad's office a lot and elaborate.
What about this?
Yeah, and just give.
That's
just
a common phrase.
Just crazy ideas that I think would work. Podcasts being one of those. So I guess you guys will be the judge of that. but anyway, yeah. So I just spend a lot of time just brainstorming new ways we can take Flight Test to the next level. Any of the sponsorships you see on the episodes or the advertisements you see on the website or anything like that, typically I've had some sort of hand in. So that's my day, I guess. I spend time at Stonecap and at Flight Test working on stuff like that, trying to make the show as good as it can be.
It was a good question, but hopefully that was exciting enough for you guys to hear.
Yeah, and like I said, this is just stuff that we can't cover in a show. But a podcast, it's perfect. Perfect for that. So I guess on to our main content.
All right,
is the origins of Flight Test.
And you're looking at me.
The title of this episode. Well, anyone can jump in here, but I figured Chad will probably have the best perspective on a lot of this since obviously he's been around. So actually, this is a question for Chad. I have four here to get through for the origins of Flight Test.
Okay.
What sparked the idea for Flight Test?
Well, that's really easy. Well, I got into the hobby about 6 months prior to starting Flight Test. And what happened was during that 6 months, I found David online, and that was a great resource. But beyond that, there was not a lot. And I'm not a big forum guy, but I found RC groups and there was some really good content there, but it's so hard to find. And then when you did find any videos, they were not well produced. RC Powers actually had some really great videos. They were entertaining and educational, and it was really cool, but the quality of the, the camera work and the audio quality and that was, I don't want to be insulting. It was just a little
substandard.
Yeah, it just, it could have been better. And so my background being in video production, I'm like, well, I just want to make the show that I want to watch, and I can do it in my garage. It's very, I can do it in the evening, on the weekends, and so my first thought was Dave Knopp, who I've known for years. He and I both have production background, and I had this new interest. Thought he and I could host the show, and what it would be is us discovering this hobby and learning about it. But we tried it, and it just did not work. But I wanted to keep that kind of – it was a new hobby for me, and it was very exciting, and I wanted to keep that exploratory feel. And that's one of the reasons I was – attracted to David's site was because, it's RC Explorer. He was sharing his journey and his excitement. And so I wanted to do that as well. But unfortunately, Dave Knopp and I were not really the best choice for that. So I started recently flying with Josh Bixler at the time. And he just had this great presence, and everybody on the field was attracted to his knowledge and just his friendly demeanor and all of that. And I remember saying to him, I said, if you can do this on camera, that's something special. And he's kind of like, what? And I'm like, be you. If you can just be you on camera. So I snatched him up, but for whatever reason, I don't remember, Michael Caminetti at the time, he helped me develop the show. He was the cinematographer and the editor at the time. He said, well, hey, what about Josh Scott, who happens to be my cousin? He's like, he might be a really good counterbalance to Bixler. And so we tried it out, and that was the Wildcat episode. Mm-hmm. The Wildcat and – did we just shoot one episode
that
day? We just
shot one episode. As a matter of fact, it took 4 hours.
To do the one episode?
Yes.
Now we do an episode in like 45 minutes. So that was that. And in essence, it all started because I wanted videos like Flight Test. So I actually watched them. I watched them as a viewer, as an audience member, as a fan. Like, I still watch our episodes, especially when I'm not involved. If David and Josh are making an episode and I wasn't there, like, I can't wait to watch the episode. It's funny.
Sometimes when I'm working and at my desk, like, I'll be watching a Flight Test episode, and, like, I'll feel guilty, like, I'm not working or, like, I'm not doing something. And I'll be like, oh, wait, no, this is okay. My job is YouTube. I can be on YouTube if I want to be.
Well, and I did want to go back to the mission statement I read earlier. That was created before any of the experience I just shared, because I knew right out of the gate I've always been interested in creating entities and brands. And, you know, if people asked, I was saying, I want to create a trusted brand. And I didn't know exactly what that brand would have or sell or make or produce or what, but I just knew that I cared. And I cared about sharing my experience with others and helping others. And I know a lot of brands don't have that as the focus. They just have, how can I make as much money as possible? And even though Flight Test has been able to reward us monetarily, that was never the goal, and it's never been the way that we seek. We always seek to serve the audience first. And you know, Josh and I out of the gate had that same mentality to serve. And, you know, anytime something attacks that or compromises that, we get away from it. And it's amazing, because you would think that, you know, coming up to a monetarily rewarding opportunity would be good to pursue, even if it's not, you know, there's nothing morally wrong with it or whatever. However, that's the level of integrity I encouraged us all to follow on Flight Test, is to say nothing is going to compromise this mission. And if it means that we run out of money or have no way to pay the bills, so be it. It will die that death. And I was never able to do that with my primary business, but this being a side business and we were doing it in our spare time, we were able to try that experiment. And so that's what led to what Flight Test is.
An awesome answer.
It was a really amazing blessing to get to meet Chad early on, because he's taught me a tremendous amount. I remember him talking to me saying, just speak on camera the way you speak to the guys on the field. And the coaching he gave, because I remember even talking to the camera, he goes, just picture it's one of the guys in the field. And without his early coaching, but he has taught me so much. And, yeah, we immediately bonded with our core values. Put the person first, help them have a great experience, help them to make memories, help their life hopefully to be a little bit better. And the hobby was just the vehicle we chose. And that's something we never have and we never will compromise.
When I want to speak to something on Bixler, it was funny because he said, I remember it was early on, maybe the first episode, you're kind of like, I don't know everything. Like, I don't know.
I wanted full disclosure.
Yeah, he could tell that I was really looking up to him and his knowledge and wisdom. And he's like, Chad, I can fly a little bit, but I don't know everything. And I'm like, Josh, I'm not asking you to know everything. I'm just asking that you inspire people. I said, what we're looking for is a nugget of information that's useful, but with a healthy dose of inspiration. And it's so funny because we always went back to that. We'd be designing an episode and we'd be like, well, what are we doing? And we're trying to, like, overthink everything. And we just go back to
simple,
a nugget of information and inspire them. And that's why we show the crashes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that was one beautiful thing. I don't think Flight Test, if we started off with the format we have now, could have existed, because with maidens, if we said it was a maiden, it was a maiden. That battery had not been connected and that plane had not lifted off the ground. The Quicksilver.
Right.
I remember that was the first absolute maiden we did. And you said, no, we're going to maiden this on camera.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, well, full disclosure, too, is we had another gentleman assemble that and everything. And it was my first maiden, but it was totally tweaked. Remember, we had to do all the adjustments last minute and everything? And it was kind of nerve-wracking because everything that was pointing to this was not going to be a good flying airplane. It's probably going to crash. But you're like, nope, if it crashes, it crashes. We're going to talk about it.
Right.
And I love the fact that if we say it's a maiden, it's a maiden. That's going to be when it gets up in the air. It's going to be when it flies, and you're going to see the experience. And that was valuable.
Yeah, if you want to see that experience, go to Fox video.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that.
Josh Fixer's face is absolutely priceless.
That is probably one of my favorite episodes of all time. And I remember everybody saying, wait, you're gonna release that episode?
That was a review. And if anyone says we love every plane, I mean, we showed the crash. We didn't get another plane and make it.
Well, Josh truly does love every plane.
Yeah.
It's not a lie.
And we'll link to that show in the show notes. but that was a great answer to what sparked the idea for flight tests. And I anticipate learning something a little bit new every question I ask. Actually, I have a question for Josh and a question for David. And that'll kind of conclude our main segment. But my question for Josh is, how did flight tests catch on so quickly, and what causes it to grow today?
Chad, I truly believe you answered a lot of that in the beginning. It's relational. It's not about pushing a product. It's not about marketing. It's about building a relationship. We just simply chose the hobby as a vehicle for that relationship. And one of the things that I focus on, and I think that a lot of people can identify, is making memories. You can have an experience or you can make a memory. This hobby is just fantastic for making memories. And what I'm talking about is I got in the hobby when I was 7, and my dad introduced it to me. I can remember more failures than I can successes with flight. But all those times when we were shoulder to shoulder next to each other, and we were building planes, and we were crashing planes, and we were rebuilding planes, those conversations that happened during that time, I took something away that made me a better person. And because of that, that was my main goal when Chad gave me this opportunity. It's like, I want people to make memories. I want fathers and sons to bond, or buddies out on the field. This hobby isn't really that much fun apart from doing it with a friend.
Yeah.
And by doing it with a friend, the plane's going to go away. You're going to crash. If anyone's new to this hobby, I promise you, that
first plane will most likely not exist.
Here's what you do. Cut off the tail because it's all that's going to be left by the end. Because not many people can crash tail first. We tried. But cut off the tail, pin it on your wall, and you know, just say fly, crash, repeat. And but the neat thing is especially for a father and a son, when they get into this hobby, when something bad happens, you get to learn from it. And when you learn from it, you take that experience and it makes you a better person. What flight test has done, I think, is made a vehicle where people can make those memories. And I think that's where people have caught on. And I love, I was scared to death of doing emails, but I love getting to read emails where people posted. They share their heart. And guys, if you're one of the people that email, we do read them. And it does impact us greatly and sometimes even bring a little bit of tears to our eyes. What you're doing with your kids or with your buddies is very powerful. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for sharing that. But we really, Chad calls it community, I call it family. We want to build the community. We want to help people take something away more positive than even the hobby itself. I think people gravitate towards that because that's something that benefits their life and takes them to a good place. So I think that was your question as far as how has it become successful?
Yeah. And I agree.
What's the second part?
the second part is what's caused it to grow. And that, I guess, that part of the question was leaning more towards the store, which you're 100%
well,
in charge
of. Before you get there, I want to hear from David, because David has a really good sense of the community and an understanding of people that is why he's even here, because he understands what people like. And while Josh and I kind of come at it in both in our own unique way, which I wanted to touch on something, he comes at an approach where he has these fond memories of his father, where I have a background where I didn't have those father moments, but I wanted to create, I wanted to be able to provide an avenue for other people to have those moments because I didn't have that opportunity. So we come from different angles there, but with the same goal. And David is a great enhancer to this for, you know, even another perspective, and I want to hear from David on that.
So what's the question?
What caused Flight Test to become successful so quickly, and what's causing it to grow now?
I think it's all about inspiration. If we create something and we're having fun, people will automatically want to get that experience for themselves. But I think what Chad really wanted me to answer is, how do I know the audience? Why do I understand what you guys want? And I read as much as I can, every comment on YouTube and emails and Facebook and all that. And I just get a feeling for what people want to see. And I try to take it a step further and understand, instead of just what you say you want to see, and take it a step further where the concept you want to see instead of just the thing you want to see.
That's very well put.
Environment. So you're bringing up the kits.
Yes, yeah. Just what happened there? How did that get started? And has it been successful, and why?
Yeah, well, I guess we can backtrack and say the ultimate thing encompassed in this is the reason why Flight Test is successful is the viewers. We wouldn't be here without the viewers. We wouldn't have gotten the great subscriberships. We wouldn't have gotten what sponsorships we have.
And I think it's because we are the viewers. That's why I don't think that you can just start a brand or start a company or something and just research the heck out of it.
If you're
and
not
do
passionate
it.
About
because
it.
Because if you just do it, if you are the people that you're talking to, it will attract more people like that. Sure. And I think that's what it is. We're not faking this. We, whether the camera's rolling or not, we are out back flying or building something every day that we can. Yeah. I mean, I was so obsessed with FPV when I got into it 3 years ago. I mean, every single morning I would get up to see if the conditions were right, and I would fly before work every single morning. And, I still can't wait. I mean, I have a backlog of ideas that I want to build and experiment and try that I get envious of you guys, because we built all this together, and you guys now get to spend more time doing that than I do. But I think that's really that secret component. It's not a secret. It's just we are those people, and we happen to have the technology and the experience in production enough to share it with others in a way that's, I don't know, good.
Yeah, my view on the whole thing is I just want to inspire people. That is all I want to do. They can find the information they need for themselves if they're interested, because that's how I learned everything I know, is because I saw something that inspired me and I wanted to do something like that, and then I went out and found that information I needed. And I think that's how I want the world to work. If you're inspired, I mean, I hardly learned anything.
So you're saying everyone that's listening has the same opportunity that you do?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's all about being inspired and finding the information on your own. Because I hardly learned anything at school. Because it's kind of awful to say. But I mostly knew everything I needed to know before that, because I was interested and I found that information online already, and in books and wherever I could. It's all about, that is what I want to give to people. I want to give them that spark that makes them go through that boring book to find that information they need to get their airplane flying. Because aerodynamics isn't fun. Mm-hmm. if anyone read all the...
You mean reading about it?
Yeah, Yeah, there's just so many. You get tired a lot, but after reading that, you get a better understanding, and you can do what you wanted to do. That energy that you had in the beginning makes you go through that step and get that knowledge. I think that's really what I wanted to get people to understand and actually give them that bug that drives them.
This is really great, because I've heard pieces of this, but I'm learning stuff right now that's kind of clicking into place and making sense, because I'm I'm not that way. Like, I'm not the guy, I skim, I can't read anything like David does. I see him, he does like hours and hours and hours of research. He watches long videos. Like, I am not that person. I am build, crash, repeat, build, crash, repeat. I learn from falling down and getting bruises, I guess figuratively. And it's funny because that's maybe the complementary relationship, because David and I get along so well and hang out, you know, so much. And I think it's because he brings that, you know, that analytical, you know, even book knowledge to the table with the experience. But I'm like, I don't even want to read it. Like, I just want you to give me enough information to go be dangerous. and that's what I do. And that's how I've always developed. That's how the show is developed. Like, we just try something and you keep what works and you get rid of what doesn't.
Yeah. I think a little bit also from the, I think I can speak a little bit to the business perspective of flight test, of one of the reasons it's been a success and growing so fast and really in 3 years we've really come a long way. I think one of those reasons is because flight tests really didn't come into the picture to take a slice of the radio control flight community pie. And the way I like to think about it is what flight test is really focused on is making more pies and, mm-hmm. and really getting more people into the hobby, more people interested in just making it accessible. I mean, the shows that we do make it very, very easy to get into flight, make it very easy to understand flight. And in fact, in the next segment, we're going to be talking about something we're going to be doing to make it the hobby grow even faster and be even bigger. I think that's a big part of it is that, and even the products that we sell, I mean, those are very low. Josh has done a great job of making sure all the products are cheap, or not cheap, but inexpensive. And I guess you could say cheap.
Actually, yeah, that's what invented, I think, the products was because I am cheap.
Right.
And it's cheap in its methodology. Like, yes. I know our prices aren't the lowest. Like, we try, though, but I mean, the fact that the same people making the products are the people that you see on the show, yeah. Like, it's kind of an expensive way of doing it.
But that's what I like about it is it's sustainable, is that you can go to the store and you can, for a very low entry point, you can get a 3-pack. And the great thing is if you're going to buy a 3-pack speed belt kit, you can trace all of them out. And as you crash them, you can make new ones. I mean, it's really a great way to just be sustainable, to get in there, crash some stuff, learn about it. That's one of the reasons I think we're growing the RC community, and that's what I'm really proud of, is that it seems like every time we turn around, we're introducing somebody to the hobby, or somebody's saying, I was in the hobby 15 years ago, and you guys really reawakened the passion for me, and I'm back in it. That's what I love to hear.
I'm happy you brought up about the kits. I actually, with Chad and I talked a lot about different product, and one of the things is I loved how Chad took the concept, and they developed something around the concept.
Which concept?
With what flight test was developed on.
Oh,
you know, mm-hmm. And I think with the product line with the speed build kits, that actually didn't even start off as kits. My goal is because we know a lot of kids want to get in the hobby, and you know it's expensive to buy mm-hmm. a complete ready to go plane, and then God forbid if you crash it,
right.
What do? You have to go buy a part, and if you buy that part, you may not have the money for it.
Yep.
But then you're intimidated about it because you got to buy that part. You can't make your own part. So the neat thing is. I love scratch building from a young age, mainly because I didn't have the money to go out and buy those kits. So if I did wreck it, back then they were balsa and monocoat, I'd whittle out the wood and fix it and put it back up in the air. Once you've done that enough times, crashing isn't as intimidating because then you realize, hey, I can fix this. I don't need to have that spare part.
Right.
So the goal with the whole swappable line was actually very simple. It was knowing that kids probably only have enough money, or just people in general, to get one radio, one motor, one speed control, one battery, one charger. Well, if they have that, why not give them an opportunity to be able to take that expensive components? Because we all know when you crash, it's usually not the motors that and the electronics that go, it's the airframe.
Yeah.
Why not give them the ability to cheaply and affordably recreate that experience and get it fixed? Because if you can build it, you can repair it.
Sure.
So that started with something very simple like the FT Flyer and very straight cuts, very simple things. And we started with scratch build. We didn't even say that we wanted to do speed build kits. And once that caught on, where people could interchange those pods. Obviously, what do you need? You need more airframes.
Yeah.
So with doing different airframes, what's better to educate them along their journey? So every airplane would be a touch more difficult. We went from straight cuts to curved cuts. And then we went from curved cuts to folding foam. And we went from folding foam to actually making a real airfoil. So every time that they built their next step up, the plane was a little bit more challenging, but also the build was a little bit more challenging, and we used all the previous techniques, and we added one or two techniques more. But then,
which is brilliant. I didn't even realize that till we're like four planes in, and Josh is explaining. I'm like, oh my gosh.
There's a set of rules that the techniques had to be repeatable, and if it was a technique that was only going to ever be for one airplane, then it really shouldn't be there. And the materials had to be common. We used Dollar Tree foam board. We used barbecue skewers, popsicle sticks, zip ties, coffee stirs.
And something I want to be a testament to Josh Bixler here. What he does, everything he does is with purpose. But he has this kind of carefree like attitude. He looks like the kid out on the playground is just having a ball, no matter what he's doing. But everything that he does has purpose, and it's amazing because he makes it look like it's off the cuff or whatever. But that's what I'm saying. He's very layered, and it's very interesting to see when he does design, he has a purpose for everything he's doing, but it's not revealed till later because he's not bragging about it.
Thank you.
I thought that was interesting.
My goal, and thank God he gave me permission, is as far as with flight tests, I never wanted to be the best pilot. I want to be the pilot that has the most fun and takes away the best experience.
That's without a doubt.
And all the tests, we've had some of the most amazing pilots. Aaron Bates, for one. Joe Smith, we've interviewed. Mm-hmm. This hobby is blessed with incredible pilots. We just want to inject the fun and the memories into it. But yeah, with the scratch build kits, the only reason I think those came along was because imagine two people and maybe a six-year-old kid. You don't want to hand them a razor blade to cut out foam board. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were asking because Chad invested in a laser cutter saying, hey, could you laser cut one of those designs? And there was enough people to ask for that. We thought, you know what, maybe this would be a good avenue. And that was also the time that I really wanted to separate because I worked two jobs up until then and go full-time into flight test. And Chad's like, you know what, go ahead and take a shot and see if you can make that work. And you really gave me a lot of trust, brother, and I appreciate that because that's a big gamble to say, I'll take it full-time, but you got to make your own money. You gave me all the tools to make that happen.
For people not familiar, that was just like what, like six months ago?
Well, we bought the laser cutter almost 2 years ago. It was from the fruits of the first year of flight test. And it's funny, but that is flight test. Like, we got the laser cutter, and we just played with it for a year. Like, I didn't buy it and say, oh, we have to make it make money. Yeah. It was, we're just techie gearhead, like, nuts about, always creating and inventing things. So we just bought it in the hopes of using it in a productive way.
We thought, man, how much quicker? Because we were, mocking up, like, imagine we were talking like the cinder block plane or the foul flyer.
Right.
That was all pre-laser. We're like, wouldn't it be nice if we could just lay this foam board out and we could draw it up and cut it? That'll just help us turn it around. Because if people don't know, before flight test got to the size, you and I would oftentimes meet for lunch. I remember the foul flyer, we went to Subway.
Yeah.
We're like, Thanksgiving's coming up. We should really do an episode around Thanksgiving. What do you want to do? And I don't know how we got the idea of putting a butterball. Oh, last rites, last flights. I remember that. And all of a sudden, we were talking about putting a turkey in an airplane. And Chad's like, cool. And if anyone doesn't know Chad, we have this thing, Function and Form. And Chad's like, you know what? You get the turkey to fly. I'll make it look cool. And so this is how much trust this wonderful guy has in us. I don't think you didn't even give me any stipulation. Just make the turkey fly.
Yeah, just get it in the air.
I would show up with this bare foam airplane, and then next thing you know, we test fly it. And this was a Friday.
Well, David was around then.
Yeah, you were there too. Yeah. You helped with the electronics, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I did the electronics and the movable stick.
Yeah.
You made the carcass of the old turkey animatronic.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest thing because by the end of the day, the plane went from no electronics. Dave helped me get those in. And then we counterweighted the plane so we could test fly it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we flew it where the sun was just peeking down below the horizon. And then it was in your garage, and you were spray painting the tar out of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was dark. Yeah, I got dark pictures of it.
So, but that was the way flight tests work. And I think with the laser, we just thought this will just streamline the process.
Yeah, I don't know how much we've used. Well, the biggest use that I used it for on the show was the blender. I made a custom rig to hold a brushless motor to drive the blender. I was so thrilled with that because to beautiful. Design that by hand or to create that by hand would have been so much work.
Yeah, it was great. And it's, I think God has a real sense of humor how different ingredients came at the perfect time to just make something exceptional.
I agree.
We couldn't have planned it. We're not that smart.
David, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Oh,
it was so long.
Well, actually, our next segment, I have a question for David. We're going to kind of segue to, that was kind of our main content, Origins of Flight Test. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's lots we didn't cover, but
we'll cover it next time.
Yeah, we'll cover it next time. I feel like we did a pretty good job there. The next two segments is what's coming up for Flight Test and our lightning Q&A round. Very first, what's coming up for Flight Test, David, what's some upcoming episodes that we can look forward to?
Probably when this has been released, the K8 gliders already, the piggyback episode is probably already out. We're going to have a review of the RV jet.
That'll be nice.
Following Monday. The Dusty build episode is Wednesday. I don't know if that's out when this...
This will come out first.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, look forward to the Dusty episode and the speed build kits for that and the FT Racer. Then we have the trip to Neat Fair, and we're gonna do an episode at least around that.
Yes,
and we have an RC beginner series coming up as well. So a huge step that is actually more Austin's brainchild.
Yeah, we're doing a 10-part beginner series to RC airplanes, and this is just comes from a big need that we saw in the hobby. Just how can somebody in the hobby refer a friend or a family member to a comprehensive video series that takes them through the beginnings in understanding RC flight? And so we kind of are outlining the segments. We're working closely with Horizon Hobby, who has been gracious enough to sponsor that series. And we're really going to dig into RC airplanes.
It's going to be all meat.
It's going to be awesome.
Meat. And so it's like, all meat.
It's going to be all meat.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be...
it's going to be the beef.
It's going to be Josh and Josh, David, Chad. We're just going to really dig into what it means to be a beginner in RC. What do you need to know to get out and fly an airplane and have a great time with it?
If our goal is met by the end, you'll be flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right now, the reason that came about is right now you go to the flight test website, it's like walking in the middle of a very complex conversation. You don't know where to get started.
To the point where sometimes we're a little bashful about saying going to flighttest.com, just because when you get there, it's a lot. Like, it's a little overwhelming.
It's hard to figure out where to start.
Right. So actually,
we see that.
This series will probably live on something like flighttest.com/start, where we can just say, hey, listen, if you want to get in the hobby, if you want to find out about RC flight, if you want to learn how to get in the air and get flying, this is where you need to go. So we really want this to be an industry resource where people can say, oh, you know what, you're interested in RC flight, go check out this thing that Flight Test did. And we just really want it to be a comprehensive, really helpful, valuable resource. And so that'll be... What, 10 consecutive Wednesdays?
Yes, that would be 10 Wednesday episodes, more or less in a row, hopefully.
So we're not going to mess around. I mean, this thing's going to be, this thing's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be a heavy workload for us.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
So you guys better appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're grateful to have the opportunity.
No, we're kidding.
And also, we have a glider build-off coming up, because you asked for it. We have been working on it ridiculously long.
I wish we could show the glider sitting outside the door.
It's 120 inches of pure awesomeness that looks like a flying foam. Yeah, it's awful. It flies great, but anyway, so that's my... It's going to be... I mean, it flies good. It's going to stay up in the air.
You take things pretty extreme.
Yeah, I mean... I'm compensating for something, and that is the weight of the foam. no, I'm actually going to design a second airplane.
That's your novelty, isn't it?
Yeah, this is going to be my novelty. It's going to beat you pretty hard, probably, because it's awesome, but it's not practical for anyone to fly it or transport it.
Or loop, for that matter.
Yeah, or do anything else than soaring.
It looks like a good loop.
Once.
You do half. Okay, so yeah, that's the episodes we have planned for now.
Awesome. And We just released the hot air balloon episode, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So
that was a really great episode.
I've watched it twice now, once with on my own, once
it's
with
long too,
once with my wife.
It's almost 20 minutes.
Yeah,
20
yeah, minutes. It's a great episode though. Really educational, and it makes me want to fly in a hot air balloon.
Big shout out to Dan Greyhouse from Laser Toys, because him and
Alex
his,
and his brother
Alex, this whole Zavada
Joe
family.
Zavada,
Alex, we haven't even talked. We have to get Alex in on one of these, but we'll let him gush. But I want to gush over Alex for a moment. He is one of the most mellow, humble guys. He's a musician. He's a artist because what he does with the graphics on the website. But also, he has all these crazy talents. He's also a pilot. But
when
his whole family
joined the team in March.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, anything that looks really cool graphically with Flight Test, you can tip your hat to Alex Zavada for that.
On the
he does all the cards that go out with the kits.
He does an amazing job, and if I could have him for 8 hours every day, I would.
But you won't, because I want him for at least five of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, Alex is in high demand around here.
Yeah.
He does a great
job. We'll get him on the show for sure. But the whole Zavada family, and what's the other gentleman's name?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Purple Balloon.
Yeah.
I feel so terrible about.
Yeah.
The whole.
Sorry.
Let's just say the group as a whole. Maybe can you put it in the show notes, huh?
All this will be in the show notes.
The group as a whole was just incredible to give us that opportunity, because that's not a small feat. I mean, the crews have to come out, set up the balloons. What a gracious thing, and what an experience I'll remember forever.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Even though I'm scared of heights.
So, next segment.
Next segment. All right. Yeah, we got to wrap this up. Luckily, this is the quick one. This is the lightning round.
Oh,
so
great.
Try to keep your answers, guys, to 30 seconds.
Good luck on that.
Or less.
No, not possible.
If we shoot for 30 seconds, let's say it ends up being a minute. All right, so the first question is for Josh Bixler.
Nice.
Will there ever be an FT float plane?
Yes.
That
was a quick answer.
The funny thing is, in two capacities, one thing I have designed and working on, I just want to make sure it's an experience that can be repeated easy, is a set of floats.
Sure.
Just simple pontoons. If anyone has seen the old Fogey episode, I was cruising around with a set of floats on that. Those were actually solid foam floats, but I took those dimensions because they're very cross-compatible with all the different planes, and drew those into a fold-up float plane. The biggest challenge I want to make sure is that when someone puts those together, that they will seal from water and not deteriorate on them. There's also something that didn't exist back then, and that was Minwax, and Chad's great.
What existed, but putting it on our planes.
We didn't know about it, and that was the biggest thing, is why have someone put floats on a plane when it's just going to cause them to destroy their plane. But the Minwax is amazing, the different techniques of waterproofing these planes. So, yeah, floats there, but also I want to do something that is a fly-in haul as well. So two different aspects. I'll probably hit the floats first so they can put
very
on
good for a winter.
Well, then you have something to go off of the snow with.
Oh, there you go.
So life is good. But we'll hit the floats, the standard floats first, and then probably come spring or in the winter so we can do it off the snow, we'll come the next hopefully flying boat plane.
Nice. So the answer to that is yes. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
This next question is for Chad. How often are we going to make podcast episodes? And that's from Facebook, Jason Anderson and Victor Lanner asked that question.
Oh, well, that's an easy answer. Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks, nice.
Depending on if you guys like this. If nobody listens, then we're not going to record it.
So. Yeah, right.
So the best way to keep the podcast going is to share with a friend.
Absolutely. Next question. I guess, David, you can answer this one. Maybe you don't know the answer. I don't know. Are we ever going to make an FT glider?
Yes.
Okay. Quickest answer.
Yes. It's coming.
That's awesome. This next question is for Chad. We got this question a lot on our
balloon. One of our GoPros just stopped.
Oh, now we got to cancel the show now. And this next question is for Chad. We got this question. I'm not going to name all the people that asked it. A lot of people asked it on the balloon episode. Is there ever going to be a TV show?
Oh. Well, we'll see. Now, here's the important part of the question.
Okay.
We will not stop doing what we're doing if there is,
right?
Because that is the stipulation. Whether a TV show happens or not, we've talked to a number of people about it, and then we might be getting a little traction right now. Who knows?
We're getting good traction.
You know, people like to talk about it, but you know, if it happens, it happens. Great. But there's a stipulation that I am sticking to, and it's we're not taking away from our audience. As long as we have an audience that appreciates what we're doing, we're not going to take that away from them. And, you know, a TV show is not, hopefully, the TV show is only going to enhance and add on to that, not take away from what exists. And I think a lot of people assume that if we got TV, we would just leave the internet behind or whatever. That's not our interest. Our interest is connecting with the audience. If we don't have that connection and get to come in each work day and work within our passions, then we've failed our mission.
And I don't even think we really see a TV show if we were ever to do something like that as an upgrade. I mean, it's something in addition.
I think it's just different, yeah.
Our web shows, I mean, really, we think those are the future. I mean, those are...
Oh, yeah.
Those are what's brought us to where we are today.
And well, and we have an international audience that we are very close to.
Which you could never get with the TV show.
Not like this. I mean, right? We have people in Australia, New Zealand, Germany, Sweden, Argentina. I mean, it's all over the place.
It's awesome.
And
one other thing with TV, and I love it in talks, is we will not compromise who we are as well, too. It'll still stay family-friendly. It'll still stay inspirational, educational, and inspiring. And that's a formula that will not be, as we said in the beginning, will not be compromised. It will not be changed.
Awesome.
So
very slow lightning on that one.
This next question comes from Jonathan Fogelberg from Facebook. By the way, you guys can go to facebook.com/flighttest if you want to join the conversation there. David, seeing that of the people in the crew, you seem to be the best at electronics, at least in the RC domain. Did you ever study electronics in school, or is everything self-learned?
Yes to both. I did study electronics in school because I needed the certificate that I did do it. I learned most of the electronics on my own because I was interested. And I don't know how, it's a lightning round, but I worked with electronics straight off after school. I got married straight after school, not many days after I quit school. We got married. And I started working so my wife could continue studying, and I supported her. So I started at an electronics manufacturing company, and I made PCB boards and tested. And after that, I quit that job and went here for 3 months. Then I got back, and I started at another electronics company, which made backbone fiber optics controller boards for telecommunication, like internet. Mm-hmm. So the slowest boards we did was 1 terabit.
Okay.
And I tested those and did the fault location and repair of those. So, you know, like the process or the north and south bridge on a computer, those FPGAs.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
It's just a lightning round.
That's like a little mini computer. That's what we call a SOC. It's a system on a chip. And those are what we use. And they're as powerful and more powerful than an Xbox 360 just to control the flow of information, which is...
So you learn pretty much on your own.
Short answer is yes.
That's what David's trying to say. Awesome.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, well, that concludes our lightning round, and we are going to answer more questions for our lightning round, because we do Q&As for videos, but it's nice just to be able to just run through
them. We'll get better.
Really, yeah, we'll get better.
Really quick, long answers.
Yes, exactly right. Anything of importance that we've referenced in this episode as we wrap up, just like a website or a plane that we mentioned or a component, these are all going to be listed in our show notes for this episode at flighttest.com/001, so you can go there and check that out. Another thing I haven't talked to Chad about yet, but we are going to do, is that, well, that is if the podcast is a success, we're eventually going to have a voicemail set up so you guys can leave your voicemails with us, and we're going to play them on the show and answer your questions. So I realize that's news to Chad. But
no, I think it's a great idea.
Well, that's if it's successful, and that's going to lead me to my last part here I'm going to part with you guys on, is that for now, the thing that would absolutely help us the most in order to make this podcast successful is to tell somebody about it.
Share it.
Is to share it. If you enjoyed it, if you thought the content was
good. Give us
good.
Input back, too, on what we can do better.
And that's the next thing. If anyone can go to flighttest.com/iTunes and leave us a rating and a review and tell us how we did. Tell us what you thought.
Is that right? Flighttest.com?
/iTunes.
Oh, yep. Okay.
We're going to set that up.
That's not okay. We haven't set that link up
yet. Yeah, right. We will. And so if you go there, that'll take you to the website, and you can just log in, leave us a rating, leave us a review. Tell us genuinely what you thought. We want to hear the truth. And if we don't have the voicemail set up yet, so if you want to leave a question for the lightning round, leave that underneath your review. And we will answer 100% of those in the lightning round.
And real quick, well, 100%?
Yeah, we're going to go for 100%.
Yeah, we're going to try.
Yeah.
Real quick, just because it's /iTunes, please let them know that we are not exclusive to iTunes.
Yes, absolutely. iTunes is going to be the number one way that new people discover the podcast just because of what it is. Apple's been a big supporter of podcasts for a long time. But you're going to be able to access this podcast in Stitcher or in Pocket Casts.
And even on our website as well, we're going to have a player.
Absolutely. You're going to be able to go to our website, and it'll be listed there where I have a player. And actually, it'll be on the show notes. The player, you'll be able to click it and listen to it on the website, just like a TV show. So even though iTunes is a big part of podcasting, by no means does it mean you have to have iTunes in order to enjoy the podcast. So we definitely wanted to make that clear. But yes, we'll read every single review you guys leave in iTunes, and we really appreciate your feedback.
One last thing. I forgot it. No. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, that was so awkward. I just ruined the ending.
No, that's good, because what we're going to do, if you haven't figured it out yet, is our goal is to be very transparent and not edit this.
Yes.
So you're seeing or hear. I'm sorry, you're hearing everything in real time.
Unless I cuss or something.
Yeah.
Or something bad happens.
Yeah. Because that has happened. Actually, I think the only time we've ever had to bleep you was the
100 yeah.
And it sounds so much worse.
I know.
Because it sounds like I'm saying an even worse word.
I know. I think we even bleeped stuff that weren't curse words just to have fun. That was the episode where we were testing the batteries.
The nanotechs.
Yep.
Yeah, put that in the show notes.
Yeah, right. Put that in the show notes.
David cussing.
Well,
I lost it again.
All right. Austin can start wrapping up, and then you can cut him off.
Yeah, you can cut me off again, right? Yep. All right, we just want to thank you all for listening. I realize this is a long podcast, but that's the point. We want to be able to have a place where we can ramble on, and if you guys want to listen to it, that's awesome. If you liked it, share it with somebody. Leave us a review in iTunes. Am I missing anything else, David? Do you remember?
Truly, thank you for making Flight Test what it is today.
Yes, I want to thank everyone, and honestly, I just want to thank people for being who they are. I mean, I really want to thank them for connecting with us, because we're inspired by others. I mean, when I see people build stuff that Josh Bixler designed, or even share their ideas on the site and share it with others, that's exciting. So thank you for that.
Couldn't agree more.
I wanted to say that this is a new thing for us. We're sorry if it's a bit dry in the beginning.
It'll be clunky to start.
We're going to get better.
But that's our style. We start moving and then refine and make it better as we go.
Success.
We set the bar low so we can get over it quickly.
Exactly.
Success is attracted to motion.
Okay. So thank you very much for listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
Go fly something.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, go crash.